This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World with my colleague Judy Dempsey, a scholar at Carnegie Europe. She's in Berlin, watching Sir Keir Starmer, the new prime minister for at least 5 years, leading an overwhelming majority in the Commons of Labour voters, and conversations with Ms. von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, that suggest there's rapprochement going on between the Labour Party and the European Union. Is that far-fetched, Judy, or is that in train?
Well, the thing about Keir Starmer's victory is that he had the majority and he can do what he likes with it. And he got elected because his supporters actually do want some kind of new relationship with the EU after the disastrous Brexit episode. Except Starmer isn't capitalizing on this. Now he's having these talks with Ursula von der Leyen, the German president of the EU Commission, as you mentioned. But what is interesting, at the big Labour Party Congress last week, which should have been a huge celebration, a huge reboot, a huge effort to say, we're going to re-engage Europe. Well, actually, just a week before, the EU mentioned the reintroduction of, I won't complicate matters, the Erasmus programme. The Erasmus programme is a wonderful programme allowing students from across Europe to study wherever they want, and they get subsidies for it and huge university teaching opportunities and education opportunities. And Britain was part of this, and there's an awful lot of money involved, and Britain had to pull out after Brexit. And before we knew it, London and Brussels were talking about the reinstatement of Erasmus. And guess what? The right-wing Telegraph, this was leaked to the right-wing Daily Mail, which is so anti-EU, leaked this note about the reintroduction of Erasmus. And the Labour Party Prime Minister, instead of saying, yes, we're going to endorse this, he backed down completely. So he's still afraid of the Brexit vote. He's still afraid of, in some ways, of his own shadow of the EU, which is a great pity. If you have a majority, use it quickly.
The quote from an unnamed EU diplomat in the Financial Times story: "We are open to strengthening EU-UK relations, but the red lines remain. The UK wants to stay outside the single market and the customs union. The ball is in the UK's court. What do they really want?" Well, that's an excellent question. Does Starmer want back in? Your measure.
But Starmer can't afford to back in at the moment. It was difficult enough getting out. Getting back in would require renegotiations. But what Starmer could do, and is needed for Britain, is to actually have, and the Europeans want this, have the UK and the EU working much more together, closer together on intelligence, on defence and security. Britain needs this. Its defence forces are in such a dire state. They are underfinanced. They're badly trained now. They don't have enough soldiers. They're not ready for any kind of major conflict. And the UK Foreign Affairs Committee and the Defence Committee actually released a report a few weeks ago detailing just how miserable UK defences are. All the more reason for the UK and the EU member states to work together on bolstering their defences across the board. You can't do this alone anymore, given the situation in Ukraine, the Middle East, and of course Russia.
Ukraine. The visit by President Zelensky to the United Nations and to Washington to sit with the president is regarded by headline writers as less than attractive. There are some sharp words, in fact. Mr. Zelensky went home without what he asked for, which was money, EU, NATO membership, and help, lots of help. Does this mean right now that the EU is also sharing the hesitation that Washington is sharing? Or are these separate tracks?
I think they're separate tracks But there's no doubt that the US support of Ukraine early on was very vital for strengthening the backbone of the EU. But Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, is a 100% supporter of Ukraine and of Zelensky and of providing funds. So the Baltic states and Finland and Sweden and Norway, which isn't in the EU but in NATO, it's a bit fragile in some other countries at the moment. Germany's sort of holding up, but there's a kind of weariness that they want this war to be over. But it's not ambiguous, it's uncertain, because the breakthrough isn't there for Ukraine, and it can't be there because they're not getting the weaponry that they need, or the kind of forces that they need, or the security intelligence that they need. And yet, the outcome of this war will actually shape the future security and stability, not only of Europe, but indeed of the transatlantic relationship. That is the bigger picture, and that is what is at stake if actually the West doesn't give one more push to Ukraine.
Last week, Mr. Putin made an undisguised threat about nuclear weapons. The quid pro quo or something like that, if they use the storm shadow against Russia, we will defend ourselves. All that usual saber-rattling, was that heard sharply in Europe or a shrug?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned this. It was heard in Germany, and they've heard this before. Of course, this plays into the pro-Russia constituencies in Wagen Connect's party and in the AfD. And, of course, in Olaf Scholz's, the left-wing element, the quasi-pro-Russian residual element of Scholz's own Social Democrats. But what Putin said was not welcomed at all in China.
I see.
And this is very, very important, that China does not want this rhetorical exploitation of the use of nuclear weapons. And this is a very important element to consider when regarding China's reaction and when Putin says this. It's highly irresponsible what he's saying about nuclear weapons. It does show a certain desperation, but also a certain lack of clarity over the dangerous remarks that these carry over to a situation in the world where the whole non-proliferation regime is so weakened, and now he's playing with this kind of rhetoric, which is very, very dangerous, and China will not get on board on this.
Judy Dempsey is a senior scholar for Carnegie Europe, non-resident. She's in Berlin commenting on the election in Austria, a turn of the corner for another EU state.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.